KPTZ, Port Townsend.
Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Osborne on KPTZ. And today's conversation with Nino Tempo had its birth about 3 months ago. He and I were just about to wrap up a telephone chit-chat when he suddenly thought to mention something that I would have never known about had he not have done that. And it was back then that I learned about the upcoming CD album Purveyor of Balladry, though I didn't really understand what was behind the title until later on. And so here's the tail end of that phone conversation that led to today's show.
Let me bring you up to date on one little thing.
Sure.
There's a small company in L.A. called Omnivore who became interested a few months ago in putting together both albums I made as a saxophone player for Atlantic about 25 years ago, and they're going to put a new album out in April this year. They said, well, that's great. Do you have a picture? I had a good picture. And they said, do you have something we can call it? And I remembered what Leonard Feather had said about me once. He said, Nino is at his most eloquent as a purveyor of balladry. So I suggested Purveyor of Balladry, and they went for it. So there'll be an album out in April the 13th, on a Friday of all days. And I'd like to send you one. Maybe you'll like it. You can play one or two sides.
I will love it because I know those albums and I know what to expect, and it'll be great to see the new packaging. By the way, I'm sure April is flattered that you picked her month to release it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm going to. She doesn't know about it yet.
Oh, well, I won't tell her.
Okay. I'm going to surprise her and send her a CD.
The Queen of Scottsdale.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, Jerry, listen, you're a joy to work with and work for, and I appreciate you calling me.
It's my pleasure, and we are friends for life. I think we already know that.
I'm certain of that.
Thanks so much, Nino.
Oh, you bet, Jerry.
And just before we get Nino on the phone for our present-day conversation, I'd like to play for you their first charted hit from 1962. This is a year before Deep Purple and Whispering and their more memorable hits, but it's always fun to hear the first one, and this is Sweet and Lovely, and it definitely lives up to both of those descriptions.
Sweet and lovely, sweeter than roses in May. Loves me. There's nothing more I can say. Skies above me never were as blue as her eyes. Oh, 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 oh. And she loves me. Who would want a sweeter surprise?
When I nestle in his arms so tenderly, there's a
We are going to be talking with Nino Tempo today, a major star for us to have on the show here.
He's talented. All his life long, he's had lots and lots of experience.
And then to be lucky enough to have a sister in April Stevens, who on her own had hit records before he ever started playing and performing with her. In the early 50s, she had one hit after another. And because the owners of Atlantic Records knew her, but not him, they agreed to give them a shot as a brother-sister team, and the rest is history.
That's fascinating. I had no idea. Really interesting.
He may talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you, Jerry?
All right. Buongiorno, my friend.
Well, I've been waiting here for this wonderful telephone call from Kate.
Kate was dying to talk to you, so I thought I'd give her the opportunity to talk to you first, and that way you could get to know each other before you start dealing with us scrubs here.
She's terrific. Now, I've got to tell you one thing I liked about talking to her. She has such a wonderful voice and speaks in such pure, clear, concise English without an accent. I really enjoy that.
Kate does have a very soft, I think, Carolina accent.
She talks by putting all the consonants on the end of her words. I love that.
And she's a very clear thinker as well. We really appreciate her for that.
She's a very, very nice lady.
She is.
In addition to myself, we have Taylor Clark and we have Virginia Ashby. And the three of us are going to gang up on you here today. We're going to be playing three tracks from your new album, The Purveyor of Balladry. You know who that is, right?
I'm the purveyor, yeah.
You are. We're going to play four songs that you and I picked out on the phone yesterday that you play on. And I've heard these songs all of my life, but I never realized that it was you. And I never could appreciate what was going on the way that I can now because I know who's playing those wonderful notes. Nino, we get to start off like in the old days where people could call the radio station and make a request.
My choice.
I'm going to tell you the choices so then you can pick one. Okay, Bobby Darin, Dion, or Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
Which one do you want to play and talk about?
I think Bobby Darin.
Irresistible You!
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us what you remember about that session and how it came about, because you and Bobby were both on ATCO at the same time.
That's right. No question. I was called by Jimmy Haskell, who was an arranger and a producer, because he had heard that I was playing pretty good on the saxophone those days. So he hired me and Plaz Johnson, who was a wonderful saxophone player. And I was thrilled because I got to watch Bobby Darin in person. Well, that first session was You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby. And the second session was Irresistible You, which I understand you're going to play. And as you know, Irresistible You, the way the song is constructed, there's a big space between the first phrase and the second phrase. I'll just give you an idea. Your magic friend, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Your loving eyes, your kissable lips, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, those big spaces were kind of empty. So Ahmet Erdogan, who was the founder of Atlantic Records, came up to me in Plaza and says, hey, can you guys come up with something to play in between those phrases that Bobby's singing? And I jumped in and said, well, why don't we put a Ray Charles piano lick on it? We'll play it on saxophone and Plaza and I can harmonize. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, your magic hands, da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Your loving eyes, your kissable lips, like that. And he said, I love it. So that's what we did, and it came off very strong.
Taylor, let's hear the finished product.
Your magic hands, your loving eyes, kissable lips make my heart realize I'm in love, and I know it's true. Cause who wouldn't fall for irresistible you? Well, I don't know what you've got, but it's got me, and baby, I'm hooked like a fish in the sea. Make angels come from above. You could make the devil fall in love. And who will it fall for irresistible you? Oh, come on. Let's dance a while. I wanna talk. I wanna talk to you, child.
fret. Don't you worry about me, 'cause I'll never forget how much you mean to me. I love you, I love you, my whole life through. Tell me who would inform an irresistible you. Let's twist a while.
Fall for Irresistible You, Bobby Darin.
Oh, he was so good.
Is that it? Are we through? Can we go home now?
Yeah, we're done.
No.
All right, my friend Nino. So we had Bobby Darin with Irresistible You. We would like to turn now to the purveyor of balladry. And when you and I talked about this yesterday, I told you that my pick for today's show was going to be Darn That Dream. And there's a story that's behind this, that's for sure. It's actually a live recording. Tell us how that came about.
Well, way back about 1989, Ahmet Ertegun's brother, Nesui Ertegun, had passed away. And Ahmet was quite bereaved by it. And I was on the phone with him, and I said, Ahmet, I'd love to come to New York if you're going to have a memorial and play at the memorial. And he was a little reluctant, believe it or not. He had never heard me play the saxophone in a jazz manner. And I said, look, I'll pay my own way. I'll stay at a hotel at my cost. And I just want to give back. He said, well, okay, but you can only play one song. So I knew he felt a little unsure about me. I said, don't worry, that's all I need is one. So I went back. And during the sound check, I was not going to give it away, Jerry. I played very little, just to be sure I was in tune with the guys and I had enough monitor of my own playing. And the sound man said, I can't give you any more sound than that, Nino. I said, well, that's not quite enough. And Ahmet said, no, give him what he needs. And he came up, jumped on stage with me and listened himself and said, is that enough for you? And I said, no, I could use a little more. So the guy gave me more. Ahmet was in there fighting for me. And it was very sweet, and I couldn't figure out why. But later I realized he had heard me play just a few notes, and his instincts were so keen, he must have known I was pretty good. So later that night, I was a little frightened because nobody knew me as a jazz musician in New York. And all of New York's jazz audience was there that night. So I was very careful in what I played, and when I finished, I went back to the dressing room. I felt I had done pretty good. And there's a knock on the door. I opened it, and there's Ahmet Ertegun. He said, man, I knew you were going to kill him. I just knew it. When you hear your solo tonight, he said, you will not want to change one single note. And I was so thrilled. I can't tell you. It was the best musical night of my life.
Yeah. Was it you who chose Darn That Dream?
Oh, sure.
Well, that was a number one hit in 1940 for Betty Goodman with the orchestra and Mildred Bailey on the vocal. And we play Mildred around here every so often. So yeah, we know that song very well as a vocal. But your instrumental version is going to be great because my favorite instrument is the tenor sax. So how could we not love that?
Oh, I'm thrilled. Thank you, Jerry. Do you know that the tenor saxophone is the instrument that's closest to the human voice?
I've had conversations with some tenor saxophones, and I thought I was talking to a person at the time. Well, I think you're right about that.
I love it. You always twist me around, Jerry.
And so here we go with Nino Tempo's latest album, Purveyor of Balladry, the best of Nino Tempo on Atlantic. And the lead track on this collection is Darn That Dream, and it's wonderful. Applauding here in the audience, I did want to mention that is from the Broadway musical Swingin' the Dream.
Hmm.
And so a lot of people may not know that. Don White would know that, no doubt, but
he would.
Anyway, Nino, yes, that was definitely a live recording.
Way back then, somebody in the front row had been coughing throughout the solo. And in order to have it released on this album, we had to go in with an engineer and very carefully lift out those coughs. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a wide open space and some guys are going, I mean, that wouldn't have worked on a record. So yeah. We went in and we very carefully, digitally, took out those coughs so it was possible to use it.
How did you manage to do that without me?
With a great deal of difficulty.
This is KPTZ in Port Townsend,
yeah.
91.9, my favorite radio station.
And mine.
In the City of Dreams.
Have always been a big fan of Dion's. I loved his music from Dion and the Belmonts when they first started, and the solo recordings by Dion. How did you ever get involved in doing Street Heart?
I got a call from Dion's producer. It was Steve Berry, and he was a great producer. He called me in and said, Nino, I'd like to have you play on this record of Dion's, but you're only going to play in the fade-out, but it's going to be a very long fade. I said, okay. So he said, well, I'll play it for you so you can hear it. I'm in the booth listening to the playback with Steve and the engineer, and when I heard it, I knew. I said, this has been arranged for me. This is right up my alley. Of course, I didn't tell them that, but I said, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. So he said, would you like to practice it a little bit? I said, no. He said, I just want to be sure I'm in tune with the track. Tuned up, and I was fine. He said, okay, let's go out there and let's see if we can do some trial takes. So we went out there, and I put the cans on my head, and I'm listening, and he said, would you like to try a run at it? I said, no. He said, well, don't you want to, you know, get comfortable with it? I said, I'm comfortable with it. Let's do a take. He said, well, okay. He said, and I said, don't worry about it. If I do badly, I'll do it over and over. I can do it 10 times, and it'll be different every time. He said, okay, here we go. This is a take. So I knew as I got into it, I said, oh, this is easy. This is like falling off a log. And so I played it, and I guess I played it well, because when I finished, Steve looked at the engineer, and they had their hands in the air, and they're looking at each other like, oh, what do we do now? He said, well, Nino, you heard the playback. Would you like to do it again? I said, not if you're happy. I'm happy with it, but I said, if you'd like another take, I'll give you all you need. He said, no, we love this one. I said, well, okay, I'm out of here. So I packed up my horn after one take and left.
I'll bet you still have your horn.
Oh, you bet I do.
Do you have a name for your horn, like, you know, a lot of people name their instruments?
Baby. Baby. I just love my horn.
Well, we love your baby, too, I'll tell you that. And by the way, you nailed it in one take. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much.
Let's hear Street Heart, not Sweetheart, but Street Heart by Dion with tenor sax by Nino Tempo.
Heart to me, I don't need no fame.
outstanding, and I'm so proud of you.
That guy was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. You got that right.
Well, that's what we were discussing here in the studio while it was playing. It's like, hey.
Yeah. Taylor was asking if either Virginia or myself knew the word that describes people like you that are from another planet.
I don't quite know how to describe it, but it seems like you have a prenatural ability, a supernatural ability to see the way the notes are going to fit together. That, you know, you said you could do it, you know, you can do it you can do it 10 times and every time it'll sound different, but it'll always sound right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, is there a name for that talent? It seems like it's a... I was thinking synesthesia is the ability to see notes as color.
Maybe genius is another word.
Genius might leap to
mind. I don't know. That's being too kind, maybe. But, you know, when you make a living and you spend years, like I did, playing notes that you're making up as you go along, it's called inventing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I got a lot of experience playing for strip clubs, for ladies who dance around and, you know, take their clothes off and throw their clothes at the gentleman in the audience. So that's what I did for a long, long time, and I got used to playing without having music. Of course, looking at the beautiful ladies didn't hurt.
It was totally inspiring.
Yeah. Nino, can you come up tomorrow to Port Townsend? Because we're going to get some women together, and we want you to play. Just like the good old days.
Listen, I'm ready to leave. I'm packing as we speak.
Well. Okay, so that was Dion. Tell us how this came about to do Here's That Rainy Day with Kenny Rankin from the Kenny Rankin album in 1977.
Don actually didn't know I was a saxophone player until we went to a nightclub. I don't know if you remember PJ's, but PJ's was a club that Don and I went in, and he thought I was a songwriter and a singer, and which I was, but he wasn't aware of my saxophone playing. And he had a session the next day, and he said, why don't you play in the band? I said, oh, I can do that. So he said, do you play well? I said, oh, yeah. Did you read? I said, sure. So the next day, I'm visiting him while he's writing the arrangement, and he said, gee, I'm 2 hours late for the session. So he said, do you really play good? I said, yeah, why? He said, well, I'm writing a trumpet ensemble here, and it's going to take me an hour to get it written down. He said, if you can play well enough, he said, you sure? I said, I'll knock your socks off, Don. He said, okay, let's go. So he wrote, instead of trumpet ensemble, he said, tenor saxophone solo. So he picked up the chart, and we ran off to the studio, got there late, of course, but I played my first solo for him, and from then on, I was his first call saxophone player.
Hmm. That's pretty impressive, although everything you've done is impressive, to be quite honest.
Jerry, you're too kind. Well, you tell the truth, you're too kind.
And now, here is the Kenny Rankin album from 1977, and Here's That Rainy Day. And that is not a weather forecast from yours truly, that's the title of the tune.
Should have saved those leftover dreams. Funny, here's that rainy day. Here's that rainy day they told me about, and I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way. Where's the one I wish that I threw aside after it brought my love on me? And it's funny how love becomes a cold rainy day. Funny that rainy day. Thank you. laughter it brought my love near. Funny how love becomes a cold and rainy day. Funny that rainy day is here, quickly here to be. That rainy day is here.
And Nino, I wanted to ask you a question.
Please do.
Yes, and this is a particular
I'd be happy to marry you.
Oh.
Oh, I'm so glad. I've been waiting for that.
That gives us two reasons for you to come to Port Townsend.
Exactly.
The dancing girls and Virginia.
Well, I asked Jerry, and he said he really didn't know the answer to this, and I was curious about your big hits, Deep Purple and Whispering, and I was curious about the harmonica on that. Are you responsible for playing the harmonica on those pieces?
I'm guilty of that.
Oh,
one.
Oh, I'm so happy for that answer. That's great. I just guessed.
At the session, Ahmed said, what happened to the harmonica player? And I said, he didn't show up. And he said, well, will you play it? I said, I don't know how to play the harmonica. He said, well, play what you can. I'll point to you. So I put the harmonica in my mouth, and I'm watching him in the booth, and he points, and I had it indicate, I don't know how to play that. And then he said, play here. I said, I don't know how to play that. So then finally I figured out how to play blow, draw, blow, draw, blow, draw, blow, draw. And I said, okay, I think I can do a little bit. So I played it at the end, and we had to clear out of the studio. That was it. We cut Deep Purple in totally 14 minutes, which is unheard of.
That is unheard of.
A Grammy Award winner in 14 minutes.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, there's a very distinctive sound on those particular pieces of music with that harmonica, too. And beautiful
thank
arrangement.
Thank you very much. I don't know how I ever did it.
Everything they did was distinctive, that's for sure.
Sleepy garden walls, and the stars begin to twinkle in the night. In the midst of the memory, you wander on back to me, breathing my name with a sigh. In the still of the night, once again I
Deep purple falls over sleepy garden walls, and the stars begin to twinkle in the night. In the midst of a memory, you wander back to me, breathing my name with a sigh. In the still of the night, once again I hold you tight. Though you're gone, your love lives on when moonlight beams.
And as long as my heart will beat, sweet lover will always.
Virginia and I were talking earlier about your first album, and I was telling her that it was very, very, very unusual for a company to put out an album on someone who hadn't had a series of hit singles to begin with.
Well, I got a chance to play a saxophone solo at the front end of The Girl Can't Help It, which was a big movie with Jane Mansfield.
Oh, yeah.
I played on the front end. I thought I played terribly, but I don't know, Liberty called me and they wanted to do an album. So I said, okay, my first album. So they called it Nino Tempo's Rock and Roll Beach Party. And on the front, I'm sitting in a bathing suit with all the hair on my chest looking, I thought, badly, holding a saxophone with three girls around me in bathing suits. And that was the album cover then.
I love that cover.
Yeah, we looked at it.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah, true.
But it is remarkable to have an album at that time for any artist on any label without having hit singles to precede that.
Mm. You're right. Mm. You're right.
We're going to go with Round Midnight from your new album. Anything you'd like to tell us about that other than that it's about the end of the day?
No. The only thing I could say is that as I started to record it, the band had left. They had done the track, and I was just going to put the solo on. And when I started to play, Don Costa got very angry at me because I was playing too much bebop, playing too many jazz notes here and there. And he came out of the studio, he said, hold it. He came out, his face was right in my face, and he said, Nino, there's nothing wrong with the damn melody. And he's just staring at me, and I'm staring at him, and I'm so embarrassed because everybody in the booth can hear him. You know, he's berating me, and I'm embarrassed as hell. So he walked back in, so I thought, okay, Don, I'm going to give you so much melody, I'm going to stuff it in your nose. So as I started to play it, I realized I couldn't do it. I couldn't just play the melody. I had to put a little bit of me in there. And so I did. And when I walked into the booth after, he said, oh, I love it, Nino. And he was thrilled at it. And this is the exact performance that I played in the 70s. This is my 70s saxophone solo. I didn't do it again. As everything you're hearing is the way Don Costa heard it, and that's why I left it alone.
Let's hear it, Taylor. right down to the very last Nino tempo note.
It's beautiful.
I want you to say something short and sweet about how you came to be on a session with the chairman of the board, and then we'll play it. Nino, what do you have to say about that session with Frank and I've Been to Town?
As I've said before, I was Don Costa's first call to play saxophone solos. So when Frank needed a saxophone player for this song, he called me in, and I was happy and elated to be working with Frank. He was my hero. You know, I still think he's the best.
Oh, you Italians all stick together. We know that.
That's true.
Okay. Now, this is great because you hear Nino right from the get-go, so he really is prominent on this tune. And this is from 1969, so let's hear it.
I've been to town, I've walked the highways and the harbors too. I've done some things I never thought I'd ever do. Now as I stand here looking down at you, you ask me why it is I frown. I guess it's 'cause I've been to town. I've been to town, beyond the boulevards and down the beach. I've learned some things that only time can teach. For instance, love is more than just a speech. It's got to find a common ground. I know 'cause I've been to town. Don't tell me any more lies. I can't waste any more years. I've seen my image in your eyes dissolve in disappointed tears. I've been to town. You ask me, do I know the Milky Way? I do, and furthermore I'd like to say, it isn't milky white, it's dingy gray. Especially when your world breaks down, I know because I've been to town.
From A Man Alone and Other Songs by Rod McEwen. I've Been to Town. Beautiful job, Nino.
Thank you.
And it's been a blast. We're running a little late, so we'll make it short. But we want to thank you so much for being with us and being so patient to hang around with us for so long. And you know I'll be talking to you again before too long about something. So I'll let you say goodbye to Virginia and Taylor.
Thank you, Nino. This
Thank
was
you,
a
Nino.
Joy, a yeah. real pleasure.
Thank you very much for me, too, I must tell you. I'll do this anytime you wish.
And I just know you're going to enjoy Nino Tempo's version of Stella by Starlight. Thank you.
I do believe that Stella by Starlight couldn't be any more enjoyable than it is by hearing Nino Tempo play it on his tenor sax. And that tune was a hit in 1947 by Harry James and his orchestra, with a vocal by Frank Sinatra. And one more thing you might not have known is that is from the movie The Uninvited. I think a good way to put the wraps on this show would be to play the last top 30 hit for Nino Tempo and April Stevens. And if you think that this sounds like it might have been influenced by Phil Spector and his wall of sound, you would be absolutely right. Here is All Strung Out from 1966.
I just can't get enough of you, baby. There just ain't enough of you to go around. Just when I'm needing you, baby, you ain't nowhere to be found.